Evening. Ooh, I'm one. In obedience, I'm going to read Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5, correct? Before we begin, I can hardly do it because the presence of God is here. Woo! Waiting. Okay, 50, verse 4 and 5. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn back away. Amen. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to come with your refreshing wind. And Father, we just thank you, your presence and your Son, Jesus Christ, the angels that are present right now waiting to move among us and bring healing and to battle on our behalf, we just release you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you. Now, before I begin, I need to prophesy. Could you stand up, please? Is it okay if I prophesy?
No.
Oh.
You don't do that.
I'm sorry. You know, before I knew you were a diving coach, I saw you cutting through the water. Are you familiar with marine demons?
No.
You're going about to be. Okay. The marine demons are some of the most powerful demons on the earth, and they're in the water. They actually help to drive COVID. Okay, and they give strength to the demons on the land. Okay, and are you familiar with shape changers?
Yes.
Okay, they often go into the water and are empowered by the marine demons. And God is going to begin to show you. It's interesting because some of the most powerful demons on earth in the water are on the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, which is on both sides of South Africa. But I saw that out of South Africa, God wants to begin a spring of living water to come forth. And I saw in the courts of heaven, him bringing the books of South Africa, and he's beginning to pour out all the prayers and all the tears, and things are going to begin to arise. So as you stand there with your feet upon that soil, you're going to give voice to some of those things. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Let me just have your hands a minute. Father, I just pray for the transfer of the DNA of Jesus Christ, of the blood of Jesus Christ. Flow all through him, Lord. Father, flow all through him, even to his bone marrow, Lord. And Lord, that he become what Jesus Christ meant him to be, just to drive out all those things that would impede him and slow him down. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
And I want to say to you, the worship, God is about to release a new sound out of you. Sound is what is really important in the earth. When in the beginning, the earth was without void, dark, and formless. And what happened? God began to speak. And when sound was released, things began to happen. So watch as God releases sound. When Hitler became in power, he actually perverted the sound. Sound that was released in music, all the notes, were meant to heal different organs and parts of your body, but he perverted it. But the body of Christ is getting a hold of that. So right now, we just release that for you to call that forth and to come forth of you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You too, stand up. Yes, you. In you is a nation. God put you on this earth in the time he chose. The time of history, the nation, and the family. Don't say, I was born in the wrong time or I can't do. God will exactly do what he needs to. When you were being knitted in your mother's womb, he wrote a book all about you. And that book became something in the court of heaven on your behalf, like a birth certificate. God is going to call for it. He has heard the prayers and the cries of the people who are around you. And as he pours them out resources, you're going to begin to rise into the mightiness you are. Don't let no one despise your youth. Let no one despise your beginnings, because God has a mighty nation within you. Well, I'm glad you believe in prophecy.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
My name is Reverend Hannah Hunter. I was a beloved wife of one husband. And I have to say that because in Africa, there's polygamy is legal. So I always say I'm the beloved wife of one husband. He passed away 15 years ago. Now what am I going to do with my life? I had no idea I would end up in Africa. And today I'm 72 years old, and I've been doing this since I'm 60. So no excuses. Okay? My children say, if you think you're going to get any empathy from mother, forget it. She's not going to put. We raised three sons together, and I have a son in Africa, and I have five grandchildren. Now, I want to say that be listening in your prayer closet. God is going to begin to hold revolutionary your prayer closet and your secret place. When you strengthen your deep and deepen your secret place, it's from there that the power begins to flow, and you carry that with you wherever you go in the world, in that secret place. I was raising my children about 18 years before I went to Kenya, and all of a sudden, I was taken in the spirit to some place, and I didn't know where I was. And I was singing in a language I didn't know, but I knew the tune. And I approached this man who was brightly dressed as a shepherd, and I began to speak salvation to him. I knew that's what it was. And I knew that my words were impacting him. I went back, and I didn't know. 18 years later, when I set my foot on Kenyan soil, I realized that's where I had been in the spirit. So God's going to begin to take you places that you can't imagine. And there's times you may not go. I've been to Afghanistan, but not physically, because God needs the body of Christ to rise up in this season. As darkness and gross darkness cover the earth, we are the light that has to rise, and the glory is seen in us. I'm excited. The darker it gets, the more our light should shine. Amen. And the more he's equipping us to do. And don't say, and let me tell you, if the let me be ready to beat up on the enemy. We take back sevenfold when he's been caught. Sevenfold. I stand out in Africa because I'm the only white person. So I'm called Mzungu, which is Swahili, means white person. In fact, sometimes I don't see a white person for months, and when I come and see a white person, I have culture shock, because I have not seen anybody that looks like me, except you become the spectator sport. Everything you does is scrutinized. Did you see what Mzungu did? And so you really have to be aware, and of course the witch doctors are going to target you. But let me tell you something, we don't have to be fearful of any of that. I was traveling to Tanzania. We were going to the place called Bunda, which has internationally some of the most witchcraft. People come from all over the world to get the spells and the potions and stuff like that. It was a very high Muslim area. And when I got to the border to go into that, they began to harass me. They took my car, they took my driver, they detained me. They were going to put me in prison doing all these things. And I was separated from my team. And I remember saying to the Lord, see, terror may come. The spirit of fear may come, but you don't have to take his counsel. Amen. He's going to come. Because how many times did an angel appear and they said, fear not, fear not. Spirit of fear is going to come, but we don't have to take its counsel. So I'm back there sitting alone, and I'm saying to, and I could feel the terror all around me, because I'm between two nations with soldiers with guns, machine guns, and barbed wire, and I'm alone. And so I remember the Lord came, and I said, Lord, my husband had passed away. My son's getting married. He said, can you come home for the wedding? And I said, Lord, I want to go home for his wedding. He said, daughter, if you turn around, I won't be disappointed, but I have a mission. He said, let me tell you something. If you choose to go forward, everything you speak out of your mouth, I will do. That's amazing. So at that time, Dan came back, and he said, Mom, it's up to you. They're threatening you. I said, let's go. So I came out of the building. Tanzania said, we don't want you. My son, Dan, some of you met him. He said, well, that's too bad. We're servants of God. We're coming. We get to the land. And, you know, demons are sometimes very stupid. As soon as we came to the land, they start screaming. And these women, two women were baring their breasts. Now we know where they are. We know where the worst of them are. So this woman, the pastor was paralyzed by witchcraft. They would have to carry him to the pulpit. Now, please don't buy into the thing that witchcraft doesn't affect the body of Christ. It does, because if you let it come in, if you open the door, it will affect you. You have to fight the effects of witchcraft. Witchcraft comes in, it blinds your eyes, and it stops up your ears. So I said to the Lord, showed me this woman in the back was the one cursing. So I went back there. When you approach somebody who's in the body of Christ but taken over by demons, you don't start out with that. You start out with what God said about them, because what God says about them begins to rumble and begins to push up and work their way up. So I said to her, the Lord said this about you, and I could see she was relaxing. But God has this against you. You are cursing your pastor with your hands. That demon rose up. He tried to break my hands. I rebuked her. She went over to the corner like a snake. She never did repent, but she had a shared spirit with these two girls that were bearing their breasts, so we were able to get her free. But I said and then the pastor was broke free from witchcraft, and he was dancing by the time we left. I raised the child from the dead for the first time. There was a child who had been sold to a witch doctor. Now, that's not uncommon. What happens is if you have a debt or you feel there's a curse on the family, you sell them to a witch doctor. And when I do medical camps, I have to contend with the witch doctors. But anyway, I saw her in this big crowd. It was so crowded, they were up against the altar as we were preaching. And I saw her begin to weep, and I saw her go down. And I'm a nurse, so I knew, and I saw the demon taking her soul and running with it, her spirit. She was basically dead. And I said, oh, no, not on my watch, you're not. I go marching over there, and I stand over her, and I lift her up, and I put her on my chest, and pretty soon she came back to life. From that moment, she followed us wherever we went, because God was, I asked, who does this child belong to? If you're ever going to do a deliverance or bring somebody back from the dead, you should have their parents there. So I said, who does this child belong to? And this lady said, I don't know. She came to my house this morning and said, I want to go to church with you. So she said, I brought her. And then, you know, we put her in the care of the church. But there was one more thing. I said to the pastor, what is your greatest need here? He said, we have such drought. Our crops are dying. We don't have any water. See, we have dominion over the elements. You can speak to storms. Don't let tornadoes come across your property. Don't allow that. We have dominion over the earth, over the animal kingdom, over the elements. I can't tell you how many times I've had to call in rain or during flooding. I said, the sun rules the day. You come out sun and you go rain. Mm-mm. You're not doing this on my watch. So he said, we have such bad drought. We could feel it. They didn't have enough food. The dust would come up to your knees. And I said, okay, before this day is done, the water will soak this earth. Now, they had taken my car, they had taken my money, so we didn't have enough to eat, we didn't have enough good places to stay, and so I had to catch public, so we ran. As we were on the bus heading back to the border of Kenya, my worship leader turned around and said, look, Mom, the rain came. Let me tell you what God does when he delights in his children delighting in him and his promises. The rain not only came, it was dancing across the mountains. And when I opened the window, I could smell the smell of lavender. And we got about 2 kilometers from the border, and the bus driver pulls over and said, okay, now you have to walk the rest of the way. I'm thinking, we are so tired. We are so hungry. Now we have to walk with all our luggage 2 kilometers. But I'm not complaining, Lord, because the people needed the rain. Soon as the bus driver opened the door, the rain stopped, and we walked on dry ground. And then the rain followed us all the way back to our town. That is what God wants to see, the body of Christ rise up and begin to trust and believe him for in these days. He is waiting for a people. Remember, Abram was pagan. But when God said, you're going to be the father of many nations, and he was barren, it said when he trusted God, he counted that as righteousness for Abraham. And how much more we that have salvation and the Holy Spirit does he want to see? The reason we don't see a lot of it here is because we have unbelief. We have a lot of doubt. If we're sick, we go to the doctor. If we're hurting, we get a loan. We do whatever. But you have not learned to tap into those things that God supernaturally wants to teach you. I do want to say a little bit about what we do over there. Like I said, I had no idea. And when I went the first time, I was so in awe of God. He did miracles. I saw blind eyes opened. I saw demons flee at the mention of his name. And I began to just thank God that in my lifetime I got to see, because I was raised Mennonite. You don't even believe in prophecy. You don't believe in the Holy Spirit filling you. And God forbid a woman should get up and preach. And I can't tell you even how many times in Uganda the same way. If you're a woman in Uganda, you have to bow to the men. And so they don't want me anywhere near the pulpit. But if there's a miracle, you know, and I lay, I step right back because I know I'm not going to get credit for it. So God is looking for those. Don't let man stop you from that. When I was in Uganda and we were up against the Democratic Republic of Congo, it's a very dark area there too. And we were in a tent, and the rain, we'd have to move when the rain, because it would rain on us, so we'd have to move again while we're preaching and teaching. And there was so much witchcraft. This woman, her husband was a witch doctor, so was her mother a witch. So she had so much demonic, she couldn't even sleep in her bed. That's how dark it was. So he said to me one Sunday morning, can we go clean her house? And I saw the word slavery above, and I saw so much demon. Demons were even coming out of the mirrors. Now, when I travel, I always take my students, because your students learn by walking with you. And you make them do the miracles while you watch. They're scared, but I say, come on, just take courage. Watch what God will do. Well, the student and I began to clean the whole house. And we went out and we poured oil on the ground. And we said, earth, oh earth, hear the voice. My sister was talking about how they would throw stuff over the fence, the fetishes. They throw dirt to curse the earth. I had to fight a water demon for 8 years to get water on our land where we have a well now. Because they mean to take away your resources that you have. But God is looking for people who say, listen, we believe that you say what you say you will do, you will do. I think I lost my train. But anyway, so then what we did is we had to be very practical. Because one thing, if you look in Matthew, Jesus was teaching in Matthew between Palm Sunday and Good Friday, and he said, if you do not feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit me in prison, you're not going to get eternal life. That is very sobering. And when I look at many churches today, they're very much about building their ministries, making a name for them. So let me tell you, this move of God is not about superstars. It's about him. Right. He's not going to share his glory with you.
That's right.
I would prefer just nobody ever know my name, but that I saw people set free.
Right.
Or that I saw people healed. That I saw these things. And when we were talking about contending with water, something as simple, even as we were digging the well, one of the workers was bitten by a venomous snake. And fortunately, there was an herbalist who knew in the area who knew what to do, because he would have died. So the battle is real. And let me tell you something. In America, we pretend it doesn't happen. We just put pretty faces on demons. We just make them, and they're so familiar, we don't even know we're dealing with demons. We think that's the right way, the way it should always be. Let me tell you, the altar has to come back to the church, and repentance has to come back to the church. True repentance, where we weep before the holy altar the way we dishonored God. We're very careless, very careless. And it grieves my heart. It really does grieve my heart. Another thing we do is we support a lot of widows over there. These women are wonderful. You go up, they're older than me, and they're on the ground praying for you. They're crying. And I tell you, the presence of God comes so sweet when they're there with us. And we have seen God do mighty miracles. One day they were praying for me because the witch doctors were, you know, they had come to curse you. And believe me, anywhere you go, South Africa, we were in the Indian Ocean. They just come and they think they're going to mess with you, but we mess with them. So the widows were praying for me, and I noticed the one, she was really had bad feet. So I asked her, "What's wrong with your feet?" And now I'm in the middle of doing medical clinics, so I have an outbreak of cholera. So I see 700 people in 10 days by myself. I'm the only medical person there. And my feet, I had such bad plantar fasciitis, I had to wear closed shoes and wear orthotics. And the Holy Spirit said to me, she has the same condition you do. You sit down and give her your footwear. And I said to the Holy Spirit, well, I can't walk. You know, don't argue with the Holy Spirit, okay? You're wasting your breath. He said, well, are you going to argue with me or are you going to obey? So I sat down. From that moment, he healed that I can walk barefoot and I can walk in sandals. Be quick to obey the Lord when he says something. Don't argue with him. So I love to, I've just doubled my income for them. I bought them chairs. I bought them chairs to sit on. I bought them shoes. I buy them fish. The Luas are the fishermen over there, and they love fish, so I try to take the fish out when I go. And they're way back. I mean, we don't even have a road back into the compound. Sometimes I just have to walk in. But God, we do street children, and Gwen has sent some dresses over, and we're so grateful. The grandmothers were so happy when they saw these little girls got dresses. And right now I'm praying, because see, you always need to be training and looking for someone to pass your mantles to and your batons to when you're doing this work. And these street children would break your heart, because they live in the street, they're abused. Sometimes they're picked up for satanic ritual abuse, or they're sexually abused. And so as of now, I have 8 of them in school. I'm vetting someone right now to open an orphanage, because we're in a very bad part of town. We're in the worst part of town. And like a prostitute might come in and she doesn't have any top on and stuff. You know, this is the kind of thing we see, or there might be fights. And one day, we talk about shape changers, a woman came in and the Lord told me she was a voodoo goddess. She'd come out of the Indian Ocean to harm us. But that day she got delivered and set free and saved. She and her household. See, that is what we carry. That is what he carried. But the children, we would like to be able to open an orphanage for them so they have a place. Like the best thing I can do is put them in boarding school, where they still have, they're 3 months in school, and then they're 1 month at home. So if there's usually a mother, orphan is means you don't have a father or no parents. And HIV is very rampant among the Maasai, the warriors, because they believe in having multiple wives. And another thing, when you're trained as a warrior, you're publicly circumcised. And the women are radically circumcised so that they lose everything down there. Then what they have the right to do is everybody in your group that was circumcised, you can sleep with all of them, even though you marry one. So HIV is very, very prevalent in that area. And trying to train these men, that they're doing such a disservice to their daughters and their children and things like that. So this one little boy, he was trying to help his brother. Mom had locked them to go drunk. And like I said, a lot of them were HIV. The dads are gone. When they realize they infect them, they run away, and she's left with all this. And she was very angry that he got out of the house to go look for help. So she put a knife in the fire, and she burned his feet. So we went to the police, got custody. This isn't fun. We took her to the police, and the police caned her. In America, that wouldn't be acceptable. But we are able to get custody of these children and get them off the street and be able to see that we hopefully can give them a better life. I do medical clinics, but we always remember God is the healer. No matter what we do, God is the healer. I went up into the mountains one day, and one of my students had an internship with Compassion International. And he said to me, Mom, there's this little girl, something's wrong with her. So she was born normal, but when she was 6 months old, she got cerebral malaria. And the child didn't do anything wrong, but when you're in a coma, your mind is open to demons. If you have somebody going under anesthesia, please pray for their mind to be protected. So she was drooling, she wasn't able to speak, and she didn't walk right. So I said, where's her parents? Because she's like little, I'm not going to do a deliverance or a healing without the parents. So the father wasn't there, but the mother was. And as I had my student pray as the father, the wind of the Holy Spirit came so precious and beautifully into that place. And as I laid my hand on her head, and the demon manifested, that's how I knew it wasn't just an illness, and it threw her across the ground. So we went and got her, and as we prayed and as we delivered her, she stopped drooling, she began to speak, and now she took off running. She wriggled out of my hands, and they said, shall we go get her? I said, no, let's watch what she does. She goes over to the fence row, and I see she is talking to angels. She knew the angels, and they knew her, and they were rejoicing. So as I went to leave, I always ask, do they have food or do they need medicine? Because some are very poor. So I usually go to the closest kiosk, which is just the shanty, and I bought food. And as we were buying food, The people were gathering because they heard that the Lord had come and healed. That's what I want to see come back to this land. That we can say, God is the healer. He brought us out of those things. He set us free. He told you, I do. I go to Eswatini. I go to Mozambique. I've been in Uganda. I've been in Tanzania. I've been in Malawi. I've been in Ethiopia. Now, I will tell you, I'm not speaking against the Muslims, but do not let them buy your land or come here. They do not want to assimilate. They want to overtake you. I can tell you, I live among them. They don't like to do business with you, but if they do business, they're going to curse the money as they give it to you. Their Quran, they're to make chaos and kill anyone who associates with Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, I've seen it in their eyes, that if they had me alone, I know they would kill me. And I refuse to lower my eyes to those men. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. We can't preach the gospel as we do most, but we can send the word of God to them. We send the light to them. I've seen the Lord actually take angels and hit them in the chest with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." They cannot get away from God using his angels to come and speak to them and bring in his light to them. That is the next move of God. We cannot let Jesus come back until we've done this harvest of their souls. He loves them. He loves them so much. And believe me, I battle with them in my own community back in Pennsylvania. They keep putting Free Palestine on my stop sign. I keep going to the township. So you take that down. That's not what we stand for. This land is coming. The blood of Jesus, you're going to slide right off that stop sign. I'm not standing for it. We have to start to realize we're in a fight for the life of this covenant land as well. And we have the power. I am ordained by TMC. I didn't tell you, David's my boss. He's a good boss, but I wouldn't want to cross him. No, I love, he's such a pastor's heart. I love that about David. He's such a pastor's heart. The pastor, the prophet always needs the pastor, because they will, you know, we cut off heads very quickly. The pastor comes and he soothes them. It's like I said, God take the mountain, okay? The prophets say, okay, God said take the mountain. Doesn't matter if 100 people die. The pastor said, well, I have 100 people, I have to get up the mountain. But having respect and love for each other and where we are. And I just want to close with this, because he asked me to, that he wants to be able to speak as well. And I really appreciate this privilege. We weren't able to get the slides. God is going to start to reveal some people in the darkest places for you to go and take a hand and say, come, breathe the fresh air of heaven. When I go to the prison, I tell them, you are some of God's greatest treasures. And it's hard for me to go into the prisons, because they don't get touched, and there's a lot of bribery, there's a lot of things that are wrong. And so whenever I get the opportunity, I go and I touch and I move among them and I just speak life to them. And oftentimes my bodyguard will just have his hand on my back, and if he feels the men are pushing, they pull me out. And then the women's prison, if the children don't have any to care, the children go to prison with the mothers. And I can't tell you what they do to children in the prisons. But we don't keep our eye on the problem. We keep our eye on the one who has the solution. There's so many things that can distract us and derail us. We have to know, what did God assign me to? And what is he empowering me for? And that is when things begin to take us here, we stop, we get quiet, and we refocus on him. And he will give us joy unspeakable and full of glory, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I have been to places where they have hacked and raped my girls. And I say, oh God. And I lay on the altar and I weep. But then they need a word from you about who God is. And even in darkness, I can say two things. God is good and he is faithful. And he will take us through. So let's begin to go into those things deep with him and ask God, what are you asking me in this season, Lord, that I can affect change where you have me? And Lord, where do you want me in this next season? So thank you. Father, I bless you for these people. Lord, I thank you so much that you entrusted your heart to us to go and carry those that are in deep trauma and deep pain and bring them to you, Lord. And you are the author and the finisher. Lord, when we don't know where to begin, you have the key or the rope that will unravel them, Lord. And I thank you and praise you that we can trust you. We can trust you as we keep our mind on you. In your name we pray. I pray, Lord, tonight, even as they go home and lay upon their bed, you will begin to give them dreams and visions of how you see them and where you want to take them. And I wait with great expectation to hear the reports of the goodness of God to this group. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much.